Well, if you will, today we're going to take another step toward understanding real evangelism. Remember, Jesus said, "You come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And so that development of becoming the kind of fisherman for people that God wants us to be is very, very important. Let me ask you a question. Do you consider yourself a fisherman? Now, I know probably the majority of us have at one time or another fished, but how many of you would say, "I'm a serious fisherman"? Would you raise your hand? God bless you, I see those hands. Just a handful of anglers here. Others are more novice at fishing. Others are full-blown committed fishermen. And so anybody who is a fisherman, and we have quite a few within our church family, the phrase, "the secret spot," rings a bell. You see, a secret spot for a fisherman could be one of the following things. Number one, it is the description of that place, your default fishing location, where you have consistently caught some serious fish. Or it could be the description of a memory that you have that was an event of catching a particular fish or some new species of fish that holds kind of a special place in your mind. In fact, I'm thinking about that right now. I have a couple of spots in mind that I am remembering, like the place where I caught my first northern pike. I was fishing with some guys from our church, and one of the guys who you're going to hear from next week as we unload his tackle box was with me on my boat, and we were fishing in Roy Lake in South Dakota, and I put on a lure and cast it toward the weeds and on the side. I know exactly where that was on Roy Lake, and hooked up with my first northern pike. I was so excited. I was ecstatic because I had never caught one before. I'll never forget that. Where I caught my biggest walleye ever. I was fishing with my daughter, one of the few times that she would ever get on the boat with me, and it was just her and me on this fishing trip in South Dakota, and she decided she wanted to go swimming, so I tossed her afloat, and I decided to kind of troll, and it wasn't very far from her that I hooked up with the largest walleye I have ever caught. I can't tell you where that location is, though. But the memory that sticks in my mind that I will never be able to erase was when I lived down in Florida. Every year, there was a group of guys, and we would make a trek down to the Florida Keys. And one Sunday night, after church was over, we hit the road, and we got on the water just outside, south of Isla Mirada, Florida, and we were fishing on the Atlantic side of one of the bridges. And we had come prepared to fish, and so we had put up anchor and threw out our bait, but we were really tired. It had been a long day and a long drive, and so we fell asleep on the boat, both of us. It was a full moon that night, and you could see all the stars down there in the Keys. It's really gorgeous at night. And we both fell asleep. I woke up some time later and looked at our rods, and one of the lines was wrapped around the other, headed in a different direction. So I woke up my friend, and I said, "One of us has a fish on." Unfortunately, it wasn't me. And I reeled my line in quick-like, and he had a giant tarpon on. And he began to get ready to reel it in, and all of a sudden he said, "Kurt, he's getting ready to bust the top of the water." And I'll never forget, as we were looking at the boat, I was looking toward the east, the moon was sky high, and it was full, and just like a Trident rocket that had been launched from a sub, that 150-pound, 6-foot tarpon came busting out of the water and began to walk and right in front of that moon. I will never forget that sight. We lost the fish. He broke the line. But the picture of what I saw and where we hooked up with that tarpon will forever be etched in my mind. There are some places in your life and my life as believers that we would call secret spots, places where God has done amazing things or used our lives to intersect with someone else to lead them to faith in Christ. And so today I want to tell you the story and reveal to you a little bit about a man who, well, is a special guy. His name is Philip. He is Philip the deacon who would turn into an evangelist who was one of the proto-diakonos, one of the first deacons. He's different from Philip that Jesus called it as a disciple. We first meet him in Acts chapter 6, where he is called because he is full of the Spirit and full of wisdom to be able to intersect with the issue that had conflicted the early church with the Hellenistic Jews and the Hebrew Jews and taking care of widows. And so this matter was turned over to a small group of deacons to handle. And Philip was one of those men. But where I want to pick up the story with him is in Acts chapter 8. And so why don't you follow along with me in Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 4. Because after the stoning of Stephen, the early church began to be persecuted heavily. And they were beginning to be dispersed, and different leaders were moving in different areas. And so Philip finds himself down in Samaria. And I want you to follow with me what is happening in his life. Look at verse 4, chapter 8. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Now, you can imagine what is happening. Hundreds are coming to faith in Christ. God is validating the message that Philip is preaching about Jesus with these sign gifts, if you will, these miraculous signs. Remember, the New Testament is not complete yet. All they have is the Old Testament. And so these miraculous signs of God delivering people, healing people miraculously, giving strength to limbs that had been paralyzed, and people who had broken legs all of a sudden, man, they're functioning. I mean, it was great joy had swept the city. And it's in the midst of this wonderful movement of revival that God does a work in Philip's life. And he takes him out of that little revival in Samaria that's blowing up the city and invites him to go on a journey. Follow with me now in chapter 8. Verse 26 and following. This is very important for us to glean. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down to Jerusalem, to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. There the eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he ordered the chariot to stop. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Now, this passage is a very powerful passage, and it means a great deal to me personally, and I want to share with you why. But here's what I want you to grab hold of. That secret spot, that place, are places in the days to come that God will lead you to share Christ with someone, someone that he directs you to, is very important. And I want to give you 10 principles that the secret spot always follows. Number one, the secret spot is always where the Spirit leads. Now, this is important. You and I are to be men and women who are in such fellowship with the Spirit of God that we sense the tug of his Spirit for us to do this, do that. Not out of coercion, not out of shame, not out of obligation or even guilt, but rather following the Spirit's leading, the Spirit's tug. In fact, everything about the Christian life is to flow like that. You go, that's kind of mystic. Yes, it is. But what God wants to do in your life is in direct proportion to the ability that you have to be so spiritually in tune that you're hearing from God yourself. Let me give you a great illustration. Look at this guitar right up here that I'm pointing to. It's a brand new guitar. It's Ben's guitar. It is quite appropriate that God would do something, and only God did it. Last week or so, God laid on the heart of one of the guys who has never sung up here on this platform a great direction to buy Ben a guitar. And so he called him and said, in fact, no, he went up to him and said, Ben, I'm supposed to buy you a guitar. God just laid on my heart, I'm supposed to buy you a guitar. Ben was just blown away. He said, are you serious? He said, yes, we got to do it. Meet me tomorrow. We're going to go to the guitar store. And so they went to the guitar store, and Ben looked at a couple of different guitars and thought this would be a nice one or that would be a nice one. And the guy looked at them and went, no, I got more budget to work with than that. Let's keep going on up. I'll let you know if you go too far. And so Ben found the top of the line of the Martin guitars. And the guy looked at him and said, is that the one? He said, yeah, this is an awesome guitar. And the guy bought the guitar for Ben. All because he just sensed that's what God was telling him to do. And quite appropriate that Ben, on his first Sunday of being our full-time worship pastor, would be leading with that guitar. Now, here's what I'm trying to tell you. And by the way, I'm praying that some of you will feel led to do... No, here's what I'm trying to tell you. It's not about the guitar. It's not about Ben. It's not even about the guy that was very gracious that was listening to the Spirit of God. It's about the illustration of learning to sense what the Spirit of God is telling you to do. Now, this is very, very important. For if you and I will ever find the secret spot of being in service and sharing Christ with other people, it will be because you felt the tug of the Spirit of God and you followed the lead. You see, the secret spot is always where the Spirit leads, not where you are felt coerced to go, but rather drawn to go. You hear that? The second thing I want to share with you is the secret spot is often found when you remain faithful. And that's what he did. You look at verse 4, the Bible tells us that what Philip did, he was preaching the gospel, sharing Christ everywhere he went. You'll find the secret spot when you just remain faithful. In fact, the focus is not on getting to the spot. It's being faithful, trusting where God is leading you, operating to with the Spirit's tug, being faithful day in, day out, just going and doing and being who God wants you to be. That's how you find the secret spot, faithfulness. There's a third thing I want you to see, and that is the secret spot is experienced by those who talk about Jesus everywhere they go. Now, this is very important that you hear this. There are a lot of people who talk about God. God this, and God did that, and God impressed. You know, people are never, never offended when you talk about God. They're really not. When you talk about Jesus, it's another thing altogether. His name is above every name. The Bible says that one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord over all to the glory of God the Father. And if you have followed Christ, you are already on the winning side. There's not a thing that you can ever do that will prevent that. Jesus is Lord. Now here's the thing. When you talk about Christ, when you mention the name of Jesus, hell is brought to attention. Heaven responds, and earth, well, it divides those who are choosing to follow Christ and those who are resisting his call on their life. And so it's important that you and I understand that when we mention the name of Jesus and we talk to other people about Jesus, we need to be mentioning his name. Just move away from the generic talk about God, because there's a lot of gods that have nothing to do with who Jesus is in this culture. You and I need to be Jesus people. We need to have Jesus dialogue. When we pray, listen to this. When you pray, don't pray in his name. Now you know you're praying in the name of Jesus, or just go straight to amen. The Bible tells us that we're to pray in the name of Jesus. Not only should our prayer be like that, but our life vocabulary should be using his name to talk to other people about. Just say his name out loud right now. Jesus. No wonder Bill and Gloria Gaither wrote that song, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Let me tell you, you need to talk about Jesus. The secret spot is found by fishermen who talk about Jesus. Not talk about the church. No, the church is wonderful. And I pray that you invite people to come to church, but you need to invite people to come to Jesus. He's the only one that can change their life. A church has no power to change anybody's life. It's just an organization, just like any other organization. But Jesus can change somebody's life. Jesus is the one change agent that this world desperately needs to experience. So speak of him, because that is very important. That's what Philip did. You and I need to do the very same thing. Number four, the secret spot is validated by what God will do through you. You'll know you're in the secret spot when God begins to use you and you're just the conduit. Now you need to understand, it's important that God uses you, and you and I are to be used by God to just be pipe, if you will. Allow his words to flow through your life. Allow his actions to move through your life so that he can touch people's lives. The focus is not upon you. It is all about what God would do through you. They may forget your face, forget your words, but they'll never forget the experience that they had meeting Christ because of your faithful witness to them. And that's what God calls you and calls me to do. Just allow God to use you. And that means that you need to stay confessed up to date, your sins confessed up to date. You need to be in fellowship with the Father so God can use you, so you can hear him and allow him to use you. Many times I really believe God wants to use us, but we are so full of ourselves, or we are so consumed with our focus on our lives that we have no idea what God's trying to do through us. And that's important. He wants to use you. He can use you. Why don't you just say out loud, God can use me. I pray that you believe that, because he can, and he wants to use you this week to point other people to Christ. There's a fifth thing I want you to see, and that is this. The secret spot always brings joy. You look at verse 7 of chapter 8, and you realize that the whole group there of that town, they were filled full of joy because they saw God move in the lives of other people. You know what will turn a city upside down? It's not some new social movement. It is not some political endeavor. It's not anything other than when they see God move in their midst, it gives joy. It gives joy to not only those who witness God moving, but there is great joy and fulfillment that happens inside the heart and life of someone that God chooses to use, the fisherman. Now, here's the deal. Nothing will give you a greater spiritual high than becoming a child of God yourself. The second to it is winning someone else to faith in Christ. You want to get pumped. You want the joy to flow in your heart and your life. Start trying to win your friends to faith in Jesus. And when they do, or when you're faithful in sharing, there will come a joy from the inside of your heart outward because God has used you. And that creates unbelievable joy. It's enough to turn a city upside down, and it will turn you inside out with great joy. And there are many believers who never experienced that, and I pray that you would. This morning, I had a chance to visit with one of our guys who told me this week about winning someone to faith in Christ at a store that he worked at. And they were going through an unbelievable time, just great emotional upheaval. And then he just said, let me ask you a question. Have you ever met Christ? Have you ever surrendered to Jesus? And they looked at him and said, no. And then he shared the gospel and they said, that's what I need. That's who I need. And they gave their life to Christ. And then this young person's parent called and said, thank you for sharing Jesus with them. They're changed. And that's what can happen. And nothing will give you greater joy and fulfillment in your life than for you personally to be involved in the salvation experience of someone else. That's what brings joy. Number six, the secret spot is always found through obedience. I want you to look at verse 26 and 27 of this passage. Here's what the Bible says. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down to Jerusalem, to Gaza. Then just read the four words that follow. So he started out. The key to finding the secret spot is always through obedience. Yeah, he did not know what he would be encountering. He didn't fully know how far he'd go, but he was called to go down a specific road at a specific time. And the Bible says, so he started out. Let me give you a personal illustration. In the early 90s, God spoke on my heart and in my wife's heart and let us know that we were to go and plant a church in Pueblo, Colorado. And though I had a promise from God, I was still conflicted. It just didn't seem logical. Here I had been pastor of this church for almost 13 years, and the church had gone from a couple of hundred to about 6,000 members. All of my family, all of my friends, all of my family, my contacts were all there. And God spoke very clearly to me that I was to let go. It just didn't seem logical to me. Why would God allow me to be part of a great church, and then all of a sudden say, start all over. Not only start all over, but start all over lower than I had ever been before. To being part of a church plant, for God to create something ex nihilo out of nothing. In a place that was just a fraction of the size of where I was. It didn't make sense. During that season, Bill Bright, who was the president and founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, invited a handful of men, there were about 200 of us from all over the country, to the first prayer and fasting conference. It was held in Orlando, Florida, in a hotel, and it was a plethora of who's who in Christianity, and I was fortunate to be able to be invited. And I'll never forget taking this angst and this confusion, but still with a promise of God to me that didn't make sense, I took it with me to that prayer and fasting conference. I'd been fasting days before I went. And I'll never forget on one of the sessions, and by the way, we had speakers, but they only spoke between 3 and 5 minutes. That was it. One of the sessions, Howard Eddington, who was the pastor of First Presbyterian Church, good old Presbyterian, from Orlando, Florida, got up to speak. And he read the same passage that I've read to you this morning. And then he preached the shortest sermon I have ever heard preached. And here it was. Men, you know that the key to the anointing of God on your ministry and life is obedience, period. And he sat down. I was seated next to a good friend of mine, and when I heard him expound that one sentence, after reading the story of Philip, God taking him out of this great, successful revival for an event on a road with one man, and then hearing that the key to the anointing of God is obedience, well, it broke my heart. And I hung my head in my hands and began to weep out loud. I couldn't stop. And it was in that moment that I just said, God, I don't understand it. I can't get my mind around this. It doesn't make sense. But yes, if you want me to leave Houston and go to Pueblo or Timbuktu, regardless of any promise of what you will do, I just want to tell you I want to be obedient. So yes, yes, yes. And that was the moment where upon the promise of God, the breaking of my heart and my life began to happen. And we let go. And it was tough, I don't mind telling you. I wish I could tell you, it's always great and there's no problems when you say yes to God. Sometimes it gets worse before it gets better. But you and I are called to follow him and go and do whatever he says. And so we left and threw ourselves with reckless abandonment in a place where no one knew us and no one cared, and probably one of the hottest demonic activity and oppressive cities in the state of Colorado. And God did an amazing work. In fact, that church today runs about 2,000. And I look back and go, wow. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be there. Because see, let me tell you something. I decided in my life a long time ago, I would rather have the anointing of God upon my life and ministry rather than the applause of people and success from a worldly perspective. And that's what Philip did. And if you will be a follower of Christ and you will be obedient, you need to leave the results up to him. Regardless, you're to be obedient, because the secret spot is always found through obedience. Even if it doesn't make sense, be obedient. Even if you can't figure it out, just be obedient. Even if you can't find the bookends of it, be obedient. Maybe you will never be able to measure it on this side of the grave, but be obedient. Whatever God's telling you to do, say yes, Lord. You can't say yes, Lord, without there being total commitment to him. No, Lord, doesn't fit together. Yes, Lord, does. You'll find the secret spot through obedience. Number 7, the secret spot is always accessed by the fisherman when several things happen. I want you to listen to this. This is very important about when you share Christ with other people. Number 1, it follows the nudge of the Spirit. Number 1, we've already talked about that. Number 2, listens before speaking. Many of us, we are ready to go ahead and share Christ with someone, and we don't even stop long enough to listen. So Philip gets up to the chariot and listens to the eunuch read out loud the prophet Isaiah. He's listening. And then, number 3, he asks the right questions. And he just simply, this was his leading question. Do you understand what you're reading? You see, the focus was upon the fish, about what was going on in their life, not the spiel that the fisherman was giving. You understand the difference? And then you'll access the secret spot when you respond to the invitation. When you engage with someone, they're going to invite you to tell them more. And that's exactly what happened, because the eunuch invited Philip up in the chariot and said, talk to me, talk to me. And then it always focuses on the word of God, not experience. You know what the Bible says there in verse 35? Listen, look at this. Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. That's where he started, not where he ended. He started with that passage in Isaiah, and Philip had enough information. He had enough knowledge of the Old Testament that he could tell him what all the passages were about who the Messiah would be, and then he pointed him right to Christ. You see, that's why you need to be part of a life group. That's why you need to be involved in a Bible study, even outside life groups. That's why you need to input inside your mind and your life the Word of God, not just for social encouragement or emotional support or prayerful support, but you need the Word of God planted in your heart and your life. And remember, he used the Scripture. He didn't use experience, he used Scripture. You go, well, how do you witness to someone who doesn't believe the Bible? You use the Scripture. Well, if they don't believe it, why even quote it? Because the Bible says about itself that it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And it doesn't make any difference if they believe that sword doesn't cut, it cuts. So use the Word of God and quote Scripture, not in their face, but just allow it to flow from your heart and your life in conversation. You don't have to grab somebody by the collar and chunk them down on the ground and stand on their chest and say, repent, or I'm going to keep jumping on you. What you need to do is just allow the Spirit of God to bring those passages of Scripture that point to Christ to your heart and allow them to come out of your lips. But it will always focus on the Word of God. Number eight, the secret spot will always be shared. You know, this is a great experience here as this man is getting saved. He's getting baptized. There's only two of them, but they're shared together. And nothing is more exciting than to watch someone win someone to faith in Christ and be baptized. And by the way, many of us grew up in churches where only the pastor's baptized. I began to look at this really clearly several years ago, and it was here in Westside that I began to look at Scripture and go, you know what? The Bible lets everybody baptize, even deacons. And it doesn't even have to be a deacon. Today you saw in worship service where it wasn't a pastor that baptized everybody. It was the husband baptizing his wife. It could be a woman baptizing her husband or children, but it will be shared. When someone comes to Christ, it's something that's shared. Number nine, the secret spot always follows faithful fishermen. Now, once you watch this, we're about through. It wasn't so much that the fishermen found the secret spot, but the secret spot always went with the fishermen. The Bible tells us that all of a sudden, Philip is taken out of the Ethiopian eunuch's sight. It's kind of like a beam me up Scotty from Star Trek kind of thing that's happening. And finally he appears in Azotus, which is Ashdod today. And then the Bible tells us that he began to preach Christ from one village to another, from one town to another, and ended up in Caesarea. That's Caesarea Maritima. You who have gone to Israel, you've been there. And that's where Philip ended up. You see, what is happening is that because of his faithfulness, because of his obedience, well, Philip found the secret spot everywhere he went. And God wants to use that in your life, regardless of where you live, regardless of where you work, regardless of what the future holds for you. God wants to use you. One last word, and we're out of here. The secret spot is not about where God takes you or what he does through you, but about preaching the gospel faithfully. And you are called to preach, didn't you know? I didn't call you, Jesus called you. Oh, let me tell you something. He can use you, he can use you, he can use you. I don't think Philip ever understood what God was doing because of his faithfulness. I don't think he ever knew the difference that he would make. But you know what most theologians believe? That Ethiopian eunuch, and he wasn't just a eunuch, he was the treasurer of the entire kingdom, country of Ethiopia. And most theologians believe that the gospel was first presented to the continent of Africa because Philip shared with the Ethiopian eunuch, and that eunuch took the gospel to Africa. You need to understand what you may see God do in your life has more results than something immediate. God may use the investment of your life in leading someone else to faith in Christ, and what they may do may far eclipse the influence that you thought you had. And you may never know, except from eternity, what God did through your life. Oh, God's called you to fish. Whether you cast a line, cast a net, sit on a boat or on a bank, God's calling you to find that secret spot where you faithfully, obediently share Christ. I don't know where you're going to go this week, but I know God's going to use you if you're open and you're ready. And the impact of the people in this church can influence eternity if you would but fish. Why don't you bow your heads? Maybe you're here today or you're watching online or by television, you've never given your life to Christ. Then your prayer just needs to be, Jesus, save me from my sins. Take control of my life now. Make me your child. Breathe that prayer with urgency. You will become a child of God right now. But most of you are believers, I bet. Maybe your prayer just needs to be, oh God, help me hear your Spirit nudge me. Help me not be afraid. Help me speak your name. Help me go wherever you would send me, so that I can be what you want me to be, faithful to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen.